How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How you feel this morning?
I'm doing good. I'm doing real good. It's a pleasure to talk to you. As a big fan of the group and your own voice, let's talk a little bit about the Dell Vikings and the beginnings of the group and how you ended up joining. I know that the origins were at the Pittsburgh Air Force Base with the five enlisted men, and I guess that at one point there was openings because of military service, and you joined, right?
Yes, I was in the Air Force,
Yeah.
and the group was stationed at Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I got there in August of '56, and got acquainted with the group, and subsequently joined them.
Now, you and Dave Lurchy, didn't you guys join about the same time?
Dave was already there when I got there.
Oh, he was, okay.
Yes, I was the last outside member to join the group.
Wow. But you joined just in time, didn't you?
I guess you want to call it that, yeah.
Yeah, timing is everything in music and everything else, yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah. So you guys had recorded Come Go With Me.
That was the first one.
Yeah, and it took off like a rocket.
Yeah, in a sense, as they call it, with a bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah, back in the old days, that was a...
And when a bullet meant something else back then, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. You had to sell a million of them then. Now... Million don't get you nothing.
Exactly.
Platinum, that's all.
Yeah.
It seems the material of metal, that's it.
Norman, when you were singing that song, and I know you were the lead tenor in the song, when you were singing that song, did you think that, did you think that that was a hit when you were recording it?
I think the overall feeling of the members of the group, that we would have something that it could be used as a means to project us a little further, but as being a big hit, nah, it didn't become noticeable to the members of the group until about 6 months into the year that it was going someplace, because everywhere you turn, everywhere you go, you know, somebody was playing it.
Yeah. Well, it was really a classic doo-wop song, you know?
Yeah.
And then Whispering Bells came out shortly thereafter that. It was another huge hit.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Yeah. But, you know, the interesting thing here, and I was just reading this whole thing on a website that was talking about the Dell Vikings. I guess what happened was there was a split, and some of you folks ended up on one record label, some on another, with two different Dell Vikings.
Yeah.
And it sounded like really confusing type of situation.
That was one of the misfortunes of the group. Corinthian Johnson, he was discharged, and he started up his own group of Dell Vikings. So that kind of took the attention away from the regular or the original group itself, which was Clarence Quick, Corinthian Johnson, Don Jackson, Dave Lurchy, and myself. Corinthian Johnson, he got discharged, and he cranked up his own little group. Don Jackson left before he did, and he went to Cleveland, Ohio, and I think he got sick there. He was wheelchair bound after that. Clarence Quick, Joe Lopes, Gus Backus, David Lurchy, and myself, we continue on the group, and that's the faces that you see in the picture, the Big B, Universal International, back in '57.
Yeah.
So basically, that was the main group that kept the name going up until now, and then I'm pushing the name now.
Yeah, I understand you and Dave Lurchy, all right?
Oh, yeah, I've seen Dave Lurchy, and I talk to him sometimes.
Yeah, do you guys perform together still, or?
Sometimes we do, you know, and he's got a medical problem. He's kind of stricken with the little arthritis thing, you know. Kind of whooped up, yeah.
And how are you feeling? You doing well, health-wise?
I feel great, man. I feel great. I'm hanging in there.
That's good.
I have my two sons working with us, you know.
Oh, that must be real nice.
Yeah.
Now, are your sons, you know, I always ask about that. Before I ask about your sons, your own parents, were they musically inclined?
In some degree, yes, but professionally singing, no, you know.
Yeah.
But they know about music.
Where do you think you got that incredible voice of yours?
Born with it.
I know, but I mean, how did you develop it?
Hey, it comes that way. If you got it, you got it. If you ain't got it, you ain't going to get it. Hey, you can go to school if you want to. You know, you can read them notes and then take them notes from me, man. You finished. You know, that's how we used to look at it back in the old days. In the Catholic Burrito, you know. Everybody played by ear. You know, a lot of great musicians started out by ear.
Yeah.
Even some of the great ones today are by ear.
When did you realize, at what age, that you really were a talented singer? I assume people told you that when you were growing up.
Not really. It became apparent when the record itself got a lot of attention from the people. And then I looked at myself and said, hey, well, you got something to do with this. It took a little while to develop that. And as the years got on, you get a little bit, not necessarily bolder, but a little more secure and solid in your means in how to present a record or how to present a specific song, And as years went on, hey, you get used to yourself,
I
and
think
you
that's,
kind of stand your own ground, let nobody push you off your peg,
yeah, that's, I think it's fascinating to me, Norman, that you didn't think that you were a great singer until, Come Go With Me became such a big hit.
Well, I didn't start singing until Come Go With Me.
You just, you, how did, then, how did, if you didn't start singing until you were a little older, how did,
First, let me put it this to you. When we was in the Air Force, I was stationed in Amarillo, Texas, and they had a Thompson Blues contest. And I put together a small group down there called the Velveteens. And it was a few guys from the base. And we got into the Thompson Blues contest. And we ended up in the White Sands Proving Ground, New Mexico. And we got pulled second there. So we got a little trophy and sent back to Amarillo. Then I got stationed in Pittsburgh after that. Then I ran into the Dell Vikings. Now, the Dell Vikings, the group itself, it got a more favorable professional tone to it because of Joe Averback. He looked at it and said, hey, well, I can do something with these. Then we came out on Phoebe. Now, the first record, it's a fluke. But then again, they wanted another one. Now you're realizing that you have some professionalism about you. But being in the Air Force, you aren't going anywhere unless you got enough leave time. And see, that's the whole situation with that. And if we were citizens, I mean civilians at that time, I think we would have seen more people, or more people would have seen us at that time than what they have. Now, a lot of people seeing the group for the first time. There's some people 70 years old, ain't never laid eyes on the group, but have always kept that love of the group. Oh, your Dell Vikings always been one of my favorites. And I can honestly say that the group was a damn good group.
And actually, the name you had before, the Velveteens, describes the great
Yeah, well, see,
velvet.
that was my group.
Yeah.
That wasn't the Dell Vikings. That
No.
was two different things.
But it describes your voice, that velvet voice that you have.
Yeah, oh yeah, well that's it. I developed it. See, that was already there. All it needed was cleaning up, You look at yourself, I can, let me get my hands on this thing again. I got something for you. And as the years came, went on, it got better and better.
So how frequently are you out there on the road now?
As much as I possibly can. I have my two sons with me, Norman and Anthony. And we have a young man that plays drums for us. His name is Mike Machado. And we're breaking in a new guy, a drummer, just in case something go wrong, and we need someone.
Yeah.
And his name is Scott Randolph. He's, pretty good guy.
So what is it like for you to be touring with your two sons? That must be just quite a thrill.
It's the best thrill in the world, Like you have someone beside you that has always been around you, but not being in it, but being saturated by it without knowing it. And subliminally, they taking in everything that's done, said, or they see or whatever, and it's a plus. See, now they have a group of their own they call World Premier. And Mike Machado, the drummer, he's part of a heavy metal group they call D Extreme.
Huh.
So they're not called the Dell Vikings. I'm the
Oh.
Dell Vikings. So a lot of people got it misunderstood. Oh, them the new Dell. They're not the new Dell. I'm a Dell Viking.
Sorry.
See, I like for people to understand this. And that's my backup group. And we got a little name for them. They're called the Posse.
The Posse.
Yeah, the Posse.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's my gang,
I
But
gotta.
you got to give them respect for who they are.
Sure. They let them
So,
develop on their own too.
oh, yes. And
Absolutely.
they get a chance to do things that they didn't do before.
I have a couple of business questions to ask you, and this is always interesting to talk to people who had hits in the 50s. In terms of you making any kind of money from these things, do you re have you re-recorded some of the stuff? Are you selling it on your own, or how does that work?
some of the, we haven't re-recorded anything, you know, like we've had some material that we use when we have some shows that we on, that we have tapes made, and we sell those.
Mm-hmm.
But as actually going into the studio and doing over certain tunes, we haven't done that yet. In fact, there aren't too many old 50s groups that's doing that type of thing, you know, because I don't know if there's any money in it. They haven't shown me any money, you know,
and
a lot of people, because if you don't produce it yourself, it's not going to get done.
Well, that's true, and you do have to. We have talked to some of the acts of the 50s and 60s who have re-recorded their stuff, and what they're doing is they're pumping them out on the internet, on their websites.
Yeah, that's the only way you can get rid of them. Either that or, I'm telling you, either that way or in person, you know,
yeah.
On your shows.
Yeah. Absolutely, at the shows you can sell a lot of them. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're doing a lot of shows and you're looking for stuff to sell, it might not be a bad idea for you to do that.
Oh, yeah, that's always a means of added income.
Now, does World Premiere have a...
hats, you know, tapes of shows that you've done, you know, across the country. You know, you splice them together and, you know, put them to the public.
Yeah.
They buy them. They buy them.
And sure.
More or less keepsake type things. Oh, I was to this show and I got this, that, and the other. Hey, that does them good, you know.
Now, does World Premiere have a CD out?
Yes, they do. It's on... I can't think of the label of it right now, but... they've been working on reconstructing some of their stuff that they done a few years ago,
yeah.
Back in the 80s, you know.
Mm. What do you think now when you think about the songs that you're singing, the songs like Come Go With Me and Whispering Bells and some of the great songs you did, and then listen to what's out nowadays with some of the new groups that are out. What do you think of the music of the year 2000?
Well, it's it is much... it is different as songs came before we got started, and before they got started, and before they got started. Each generation or each segment of time produces a different crop of musicians that sing a specific type song or have a specific sound.
Mm-hmm.
Now, up until the years, it has changed. Oh, the rock and roll wasn't going to last. Oh, that's garbage. And they talked about this guy, that guy, but it's still here. Now you got the rappers. And that wasn't going to last. The way they talked about it was like a dog. Oh, that garbage, it ain't about nothing. It's a multi-million-dollar outfit right today.
Yeah.
I don't care what the guy's name is or who they represent. It's multi-million. If I could have made that kind of money when I was coming along, instead of that nickel and a dime thing that we was getting paid, I'd have been all right. Them guys can walk away right now, millionaires.
Hmm.
See? Now, the group that's going to come after them, they are slowly but surely turning back to the classic ways of presenting music. They started to sing a little more. And that's why they're sampling a lot of the old folks' music to get that sound.
Yeah.
Now you hear them starting to sing. At one time, all they were doing was running off at the mouth, which is great because that's what the kids were listening for. That's what the kids were wanting. And it's not going to stop until somebody changes it. Because the same thing with the 50s rock and roll. The Beatles showed up. The only thing they did was cut the pocketbook for the simple reason they were self-contained. Most of the groups at that time was not self-contained. They walked around with a leather attaché case with their music in it.
Yeah.
And they got some old dude sit there and play it, if he felt like it. Because I have taken back many a music sheet that was struck with red markers. Oh, I ain't playing this, I'm not playing that. I'm going to do a beat in the beginning and about in the end.
Hmm.
And the whole middle is blown away. But see, those days are gone. Now we are self-contained. We are coming at them with something that they can understand. And the good part about it is, the people who stuck with us from the 50s, say 1956, January, they start there, up until today, 2001 plus 7.
Hmm.
They had been with us all the while. And half of those people, a good majority of those people, have never seen the Dell Vikings. And when they set eyes on them, they are gratified. Now, I'm finished. You understand what I mean?
I do very much so, Norman.
There's a lot of people right today never laid eyes on the group and they're 90 years old.
Yeah.
Because I've had a few people walk up to me, embrace me, and kiss you on the cheek and say, I'm glad I seen you. It took a long, long time.
Well,
and it's a blessing.
Yeah.
Because we wasn't able to get out and do that kind of thing as far as traveling the country because we were all in the military. And Uncle Sam didn't let you go trotting off any damn way if you didn't have the leave time. I got 5 days, and the next guy got 30. So where am I going? I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
You know, it's interesting to note that the producer of our entertainment feature here at the PMP Network, Bob Spicer, is actually quoted in your little thing here. He said that he had the great pleasure of seeing Norman Wright and the Dell Vikings over the past couple of years. They are more than an oldies group. They are legends. Keep singing, Norman.
Yeah.
The people like me will never, ever say no.
That's just how I feel about it.
And
like you was asking before, how does it make me feel to have the kids along beside me? It's that very same reason. Now they got a chance to see something that they couldn't do when they had their group.
Hmm.
And it's a blessing in disguise because I can present myself as a original lead singer of the Dell Vikings, and I got somebody behind me that I can have confidence in and who have added to the sound of the group, the Dell Vikings, without changing it because the sound hasn't changed. And a lot of people want to know, well, how did you get that sound? And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to stop telling people how we got that sound. Because somebody's going to try to steal it one day or another, you know. Yes, I'm coming to keep a top shit on that a little bit.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, I loved your music. Obviously, Come Go With Me and some of the other great songs. But you know my favorite song you guys ever sang?
What's that?
Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love that version.
Yeah.
That's a great song.
We had an incident in Cleveland, Ohio, a few years ago, and the group has been doing it. I mean, been playing for about 5.5 years, and it really hasn't seemed like it. And get back to that story. A young man, in fact, not a young man, a gentleman in the rear says, "Thank you, thank you, thank you. I waited 30 years." So I heard that, and I didn't have to turn around. I just put a smile on my face, and I knew what he was talking about.
Hmm.
That was the first time he heard String Along, and he was devastated. And he just come up to me, shook my hand, and walked right out the door.
Well, I have to ask you a question because I'm getting emails from people all over the place here. They want to know where you're going to be playing. Do you have any idea in the next few weeks where you'll be?
Oh, yeah, we're going to be skipping around the country. And I can give you a little light rundown of where we're going to be at.
Yeah, that'd be great because people around the country are listening to this.
Yeah, I give you a little light one.
Talking with Norman Wright from the Dell Vikings.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, has anybody put out an anthology of your music yet?
Not that I know of. On the 8th of October, we're going to be in Franklin, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And another one, we're going to be in Jacksonville, Florida, on October the 25th. That's going to be a fair, agricultural fair.
Okay.
And see, let me snap another one for you here. Myrtle Beach is going to be October the 27th of this year.
That sounds like Jacksonville and Myrtle Beach sounds like fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know the way when Paul Simon once wrote, Norman, that that each town looks the same to me, the movies and the factory does. When you're traveling around a lot, does sometimes places blend together?
No. Each venue have its own flavor. Each venue have its own color. Each venue have its own feeling. There are no two things alike, as we already know in this world, because it may look the same, but it's not. There's always something there that makes it and sets it apart from the rest. Like we may go to the same place over and over again, or more than one time. Well, that remains to be the same. You get the same kind of a crowd because it's the same city. But when you leave one city and go to another, it's not the same. It's not the same. Like we can go to Cleveland. It's not New York. We go to Cincinnati, it's not Texas. We go to Texas, it's not California. You got a different set of people. You got a different crowd everywhere you go.
Right. And I just want to tell folks out there that may have a venue of their own. A lot of people listening to the show own clubs and things like that, or run fairs. You can hire the Dell Vikings, and there's a company called Lustig, L-U-S-T-I-G, Talent Enterprises, that that can represent the Dell Vikings and Norm Wright. And they have their own website at Lustig Talent, L-U-S-T-I-G, talent.com.
I'm hooked up with.
So you can check that website out and find out how to bring the Dell Vikings and Norman Wright into your town.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, in fact, quite a few people do tie into that website and call Mr. Lustig, and I get quite a bit of fan mail from them. They want pictures and so forth and so on, you know, you scratch them out of pictures, they send us stuff with this envelope. And it's good.
I think it's wonderful, and it's wonderful that you are healthy and still out there singing with that great voice of yours, Norman.
Oh, yes, I'm trying.
And we appreciate it, and we're sorry that we started this interview late, but it was a thrill for me to speak with you today.
Mm-hmm.
Take care.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.